notes or anything. I got a few things down here, but it's not got much to do with what I'm speaking on. God's been good to us. There's no doubt about that. Sometimes we don't realize how much God's blessing us until we look back on it. That move of revival spirit we saw here last summer on our young people, and last fall and in our church, and that, you know, the meeting we had back with Brother Nick's back in us in the winter, and then the youth rally and all this stuff, all that school and everything out there sprang out of that. That was the thing that really caused it to happen. We was out there painting a little bit last night. I had the youth choir tape playing, and the youth choir was singing that song, "For Those Tears I Died," and I mentioned it to my wife. She's up there with me, and some of these boys was in there painting last night. And that song, you know, I could just hear them and feel it, feel the Spirit of God moving. I said, that song helped build this building right here. And when God does something like that, something always comes out of it. And it attracts a lot of people. We've had just in the last few days, we're getting calls every day now of people wanting into school. And I was going to, about 2 weeks ago, I thought, well, maybe I better put it in the paper. Maybe I better make some advertising and stuff. And I still want to do that, but... so far, we haven't done anything like that, except I mentioned on the radio. And I guess just word of mouth, people call constantly. I really, really thought when we first started, when we announced this thing, that since it wasn't going to be sure it was going to be built, and since it wasn't a brand new school and people would want to watch it for a while, I thought, well, we may have a 100 at the most first year, you know. That'd be a lot to start out with. And as of yesterday, we had 198. And that's 20 just in the last few days has come in, and there's people calling all day long. And there may be more than a day I don't know about. There was? How many we got now? 199. Uh-oh. But anyway, there's some lady just called today, and there's others and others wanting to get in on it. Well, that means there's a responsibility on us as a church, as school teachers. Camp, I'm telling you what. Next week of camp is just, I just can't hardly stand it. Think about it. I can't hardly stand to think about it. I just want God to do something so bad. And one thing about it, young people, and remember this, God never does the same thing twice. He never does the same thing the same way. You read your Bible, He dealt with everybody a little bit different, every way. People say, boy, I want it to be like last year. I don't. I mean, I'd like for it to, but I want it to be just what God wants it to be. Wouldn't it be boring if every time we come to church the same thing happened? Even if you had a big shout and blowout, if you did that every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that would get old. It's the Lord you worship. It's not shouting. Some people worship shouting. They say, boy, I want it to really break loose. I love it. You better make sure you got to love the Lord, not that stuff. When you love the Lord, that stuff is a result of it. It comes out of that. And we don't rejoice because... we can feel good. We rejoice because our name's in the book of life. You got to make sure you don't worship. People say, well, I'd rather do it. I love a good worship service. I do too. But you got to make sure that you want to worship God. Worship God. He don't share His glory with nothing or nobody. We want what God wants. I've been in this thing long enough to know that we're better off getting just what God wants us to have. If He wants to dump something in here tonight, turn this thing sideways. If that's what He wants... hallelujah. I'm a candidate for it. And I know God always works according to His word. What God does is decent. What God does is in order. There is a girl. Let me give you something to pray about. There is a girl coming to camp with us next week. Not from this state. And this is just one. There's a bunch of them. Probably have close, over 230. And one girl's coming and her parents are sending her here because they believe, they heard what God's done among our young people. And they can't do nothing with this girl, and they're saying, if I could just get her down there to that camp, if I could just get her around them kids from New Manna, if I could just get them under that preaching, God would do something for them. And you know what that does to us young people? That puts a big responsibility on you. You go out there acting like a bunch of heathen and backslid and not cooperative and not have the right spirit and not have a good attitude, that girl's life could be destroyed. Amen. Well, I told him the other night at youth choir practice, I said, let's don't go out to the camp and wait till Thursday or Friday night to get right. Let's go right. Let's be right when we get there. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on being right. And there's one way we can be right. There's only one way I know of to really, really be right with God. Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, 14. I'm going to read you this little story, and I'm going to talk to you just a minute, and we're going to go. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. That word luna, like lunar, that's the moon. That's where they get the moon, like the Jekyll and Hyde, full moon, demonic power in the moon, stuff like that. There's something to that stuff. That ain't all superstition. He's lunatic. See, he was possessed of a devil. And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Those demons have an affinity for fire and water. You're attracted to it. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered. See, they brought this man to Jesus. They brought this man to his disciples, and they said, can you do something with this man? And they tried it and couldn't. You know what hurts me? When I think about somebody driving from Statesville or South Carolina or Virginia and bringing a sinner here on Sunday morning and we can't help him. That hurts. That hurts. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured. Notice the word cured. There's a strange connection between spiritual and physical infirmity in the New Testament there. From that very hour, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, how come he didn't get saved when we preached? How come we couldn't pray and do nothing with him? Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Yonder is a good Bible word. Them Yankees don't know no better. Yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing personal. We got some visiting here tonight. And we got other one. But they made fun of me all last week out there. All last week, people in New York said, over yonder. And I said, well, read your Bible, man. Read your Bible. And he said, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, so what do we got to do? We got to have faith. Praise God, I believe it. But you know why most people try to get faith? Conjure it up. They say, oh God, oh God, oh God, I believe. That ain't the way to get faith.
Right.
You're trying to say, what you're trying to do is make God think you believe. Well, how do you just start believing? Here's how you do it. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You got to pray, you got to fast. There's no shortcuts. There's no microwave revivals in God's business. It's prayer. It's fasting. It's simple. You don't know how to build a work for God? You don't know how to see God move on your Sunday school class? You want to see God's power move in here? We got to do two things. We got to pray. We got to fast. That's all there are to it. Ain't got no new formula. No new. Listen, you say, praise God, the Drummonds are coming. Be dead, it's 4:00. Drummonds ain't God. I ain't God. Reggie ain't God. You know why God blesses old Reggie? You say, well, he's just funny and he's a black man. No. God's on that fella. God's on that guy. You know how I know God's on him? We was down there in Alabama. He's down there in revival. He said, we come here to have revival. He hemmed himself up in that motel room and got with God. Them girls, he made them stay in that room. He said, we done something unusual. We went to Walmart today. He said, we don't usually do that when we're in revival. We just stay in and pray. He said, God honors that separation. And that's why God gets on him when he gets up. He just shuts himself up in the room all day and stays with God. And then when he comes out, he shines. This kind cometh not forth, but by prayer and fasting. Boy, we got down to business and prayed and fasted before that youth rally. And I mean, it started getting foggy in here. And then God blessed our church that Sunday night after the youth rally. That was a result of people praying and fasting. Now, when I start thinking about all these young people coming next week, it puts a burden on me to pray and fast. And I already have been, and I'm going to be doing some more. And I'm not telling you that so like sound like I'm bragging or something. I'm telling you I'm not going to preach something to you that I'm not going to practice myself. And so I want us to do this together as a group. You say, well, Brother Danny, it's hard for me to fast and work. Yeah, it sure is. I did it. And I mean, I was trying to dig a little bit. And I was telling Laurie, I was fasting. I was trying to dig a little bit with a shovel. Out here, and I stuck something, and I looked up, and everything was just kind of going dizzy like that. And you say, no, that's bad for you. You shouldn't do that. No, that's good for you. It's good for you. You know what it does? It cleans you out. You know, you got little sins in your heart. You know how to get rid of them? Let that flesh suffer a little bit. Let that flesh do without food a little bit, and it'll clean you right up. It cleans you out physically. It cleans you out spiritually. Now, I'm not going to preach a whole message on fasting tonight, but it's good for you. Somehow or another, fasting clears up your mind. You notice the day after you fast, your mind, you just as clear as a bell. I remember years ago, every time I'd start to fast, the devil would give me some excuse. He'd say, now you can't because of this. And you can't because of that. And you can't today because it's this day. You can't do it that day either because of this. You can't do it that way. You got to preach tonight, and you got to have strength to preach. And I thought, well, I'll just try it and see. So I went all day, didn't eat nothing. And that night I got up to preach, and I had more energy, just no lie. It's just about like this every time, than I did any other night during revival. Go eat a big supper somewhere, and I'm up there saying, well, glory to God. Go up, glory, hallelujah. You know, like that, I have to service. And that flesh is satisfied. You don't have the burden. You don't have the burden that you should. Boy, when that old stomach's hurting, you know, and you know their soul's in the balance, it seems like you can remember Scripture better. It seems like you burden. Now, the Bible tells us what to do when we fast. You don't go around saying, everybody saying, I'm fasting. You know, you don't get no reward if you do that. The Bible said the hypocrites disfigure their faces like, everybody pray for me. I'm fasting. I'm about to die. No, you don't get no reward like that. The Bible said, wash your face. Anoint, that means comb your hair, brush your teeth, drink some scope or something, you know, so people can't tell it. You know, you fast a little while, that scope start tasting good, man. You can get a little old mint on them, and you just lick a fool out of it. It's the best thing you ever eat in your life. But what you're doing, that they appear not unto men to fast. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen? I'm asking you tonight to pray and fast for teen camp next week. Preacher Hollifield preached last night down there at the camp meeting. Man, he's talking about how that if we see revival, it'll come through the young people. And I don't know about all that. It's probably right, but I don't know. I believe God can send revival to a rest home if he wants to. But normally, it comes through young people. And it put a burden on me. I got to thinking, Lord have mercy, if we don't reach this generation of young people, who is? Who's going to tell them that there's old-time religion is still real? Where are they going to get it? Where would you send a kid? Where would you send a kid to get the touch of God on? If you had a teenager and you didn't live right here in McDowell County, where would you send them? There's few places. There are a few places, but they're not many. There's a few, but there's not many. For the most part, camp meetings about over the country has died out. There's still some good ones. Thank God for that. Some of them still preaching. Some of them still shouting. But a lot of places, you go down south, you go out west, and I mean, it's deader than 4 o'clock. Somebody has got to be willing to pay a price a little bit that God's power may come down. It may be somebody that don't even go to camp. It may be somebody, next week's probably physically one of the hardest week of the year. For me personally, that youth rally week probably can't compare with next week because we go early morning to late at night. We do the activities. We have games and it's 100 degrees and everything like that. We'll need physical strength and we'll need God's blessings. We'll need power. We need the help of the Lord. And this kind don't go out. Prayer and fasting. You know, it's just like a rock. You ever trying to break a rock or dynamite a rock out of a bank when they're building a road or something? It takes a big boom, you know, to blast some of them out of there. You can hit it and hit it and hit it. And I've seen some of them teenagers sit there and sit there and sit there all week long. But then, boy, when enough blast comes in there, it'll blast them out of that seat and right in the altar. But it takes a big blast. This kind. Somebody's really in sin, it takes a big blast to get them. Seen them sit there just like this through that whole thing. Just running right off their back. But if God gets in there just right, it'll get them. He's got a hammer big enough to crack any nut in North Carolina. That's right. And I believe that. I believe that. You know what we need to do? Break up our fallow ground. The Bible said, Break up your fallow ground. When a farmer goes out to sow seed, if it's just hard, solid dirt, real hot, he's just wasting them seed. But boy, if you can tire that ground up first. I hope I don't have to go out and preach next week to just a bunch of hard dirt. It'd be nice if we could pray and the Holy Ghost would get in there and finger in there and tire that ground up in their heart and open it up for the Word of God. That's my prayer. I'm asking you to fast as the Lord would lead you. There is no certain length of time of fast in the Bible. There are 1 day fast in the Bible. There are 3 day fast in the Bible. There are morning to evening fast in the Bible. There's 7 day fast, I think twice. There's 21 day fast, and there's 40 day fast all the way through the Bible. You do that like lifting weights. You don't start out. I've seen people say, well, I'm going to fast 7 days. Now, you better not do that. You better just start off doing. You'll be backslid the time you get through with that. If you're not got the right motive, just do what you can do. Do what you can do. Some of you folks, you're not used to going 3 hours without eating something. Some of these guys that come in on some of these contracts that work at the church, they eat breakfast before they come. They eat a snack at 10. They eat dinner at 12. They have another break and snack and Pepsi and Coke, candy bars at 3, and then quit at 4 and go home and eat supper and then eat a big snack at night. People like that ain't going to fast much. Because you've got to learn to do without a little bit. Do without a little bit. Do without a little bit more. Try it a little bit longer. In the Bible, there's absolute fast, where you don't eat nothing, you don't drink nothing. That's absolute fast. That's for emergencies. I've taught you this before, but I'm not going to bring out a bunch of scripture. Ezra, I mean, some of them, but they just said, eat nothing, drink nothing. We've got to have God now. And the Lord will do it. Then there's partial fast, where they drink fluid. Water, most of the time in the Bible. I can't find anywhere where they did drink anything but water. That's debatable. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I just drink water when I'm fasting. And sometimes I don't. But sometimes I do. I just do what I feel like God would have me to do. And boy, when I notice the more serious I get, the more desperate I get, the easier it is for me to say no to that flesh. And boy, you just get that flesh down there and say, I'm not going to let you have it. I want God to do something in my life. I want God to move in my heart. Then we're going to have it. Preacher preached something down there last night. He said, if you get hungry for God, God's going to feed you and give you something. You know what worries me about some of you young people? You've got so many blessings, God's been so good to us, that you're not hungry for God like you ought to be. And that's understandable. You eat all the time and you ain't hungry. We need to get hungry. The way to get hungry is starve yourself off this world and get hungry for God. I wonder tonight how many would get hungry for the Lord to really do something in your life. Hungry. Boy, I tell you, I want God to do something in me. I want God to move, not just at camp, Sunday morning, Sunday night, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, in my home, on my job, in my car, when I witness to people at work or wherever I'm at. I want the feel, the power of God. I want God to be on me, around me, with me. You know what I'm talking about. I want God to do something for me. Now, we need to do that. We need that. When you're going to have revival? You're going to have revival when the providence of God indicates it. You can just tell God's getting ready to do something. You're going to have revival when the wickedness of the wicked world grieves and distresses and humbles Christians. When Christians get tore up over the shape this world's in, God is getting ready to do something. We just sit around and say, oh, well, I heard somebody got killed over here. I heard there's 10 more abortions in town. So what? God's, you ain't in no shape for no revival. Now, when you get to a workplace where it grieves you and it tires you up and you look around and see that empty seat beside you and say, oh God, so-and-so's out. Oh God, where's so-and-so? Oh God, they used to sit on the front row. Oh God, we get tore up about it. God's getting ready to do something. You know when God's getting ready to do something? When Christians have a spirit of prayer. Well, I tell you, I like it when I come in here and hear that room up there just ringing out. I know some of you boys sitting here tonight, some of you young men, man, there was a time before every service you was up there screaming your lungs out, begging God to do something. And you know what? The devil saw that and says, bah! And shut you up. Because that's what the devil can't stop. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The least little child in here that knows God, get down and start praying, put the devil to flight, just like that. You know when you're going to have revival? When the Lord lays it on the preacher's heart, start preaching about it. You know when you're going to have revival? When Christians start getting right with each other. You know when you're going to have revival? When preachers and Christians are willing to have God promote it and do it by whatever means He sees fit. And just turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord have His way. I hope and pray tonight that every one of us will get a spirit of prayer upon us. I guess camp coming up next week's got it. I'm burdened more and concerned more, but during these last few nights, I've been trying to pray more during the day, just during the day while you're driving down the road. Lord, please. Lord, please. I wonder how many of you young people tonight would pray for that girl I mentioned a while ago. Next week may make the difference in her life. Where she grows up, marries a good Christian guy, keeps herself right, and lives right until she gets married, has a Christian home, serves God, and raises her kids right, or winds up going the wrong way, gets on drugs, and maybe winds up like Susan Smith or somebody did down there in South Carolina. Next week may make the difference in that girl's life. She's only 14. This kind don't go out but by prayer and fasting. Would anybody in here be willing to do without? Maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. I can tell you right now, somebody wants to go in with me, we'll do it Saturday. All day Saturday. And nothing to eat. And if you feel bad, just lay down. And if your stomach hurt, drink a glass of water. And just go and just pray. But your stomach will play tricks on you. I don't ever eat nothing until about 12 o'clock during the day, ever. Hardly ever do I eat breakfast because I eat junk at night and stuff. And I never eat till about 12. Let me show you the tricks your stomach will play on you. On a normal day, I can go to 12 today. We eat at 1 o'clock. We went to Hickory to get some stuff at the school. And she said, you about ready to eat, Danny? I said, well, you ain't ready yet, are you? It's 5 to 1. I'm just busy around here. I don't think about it till about 1 o'clock. But you know what? On the day that I'm fasting, I get up, and by 10 o'clock, my stomach, I'm starving to death. You know what that is? That's mental, man. That's all in your head. Ain't that right? Does anybody else have that happen? The day you're trying to fast, you say, I got to have some. It's killing me. No, you don't. No, you don't. I think about all them people in the world, man, that like J. Harold Smith, who went on 21-day fast for it, didn't kill him. It wouldn't kill one person in here. He said, well, I got something on me. And the doctor said, yeah, I know. I got the Bible, and I just read you what it said. It's good for you. You may not be able to fast as long as some people, but at least till Saturday evening at 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and everyone that will with me all day long Saturday. Nothing. Saturday until Sunday morning when you get up. That's what I'd like to ask you to do tonight. And every time you think, just go with a prayer on your lips all day. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't let this opportunity slip. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. They used to sing. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. I talked to a preacher in closing. Kathy, if you want to come on. I talked to a preacher, and I told him, I said, brother, it's not the preaching. I don't want our kids just to have an emotional stir and get all excited and 2 weeks it wear off. I want God to do something. I want God to do something. Will you pray with me and fast with me? You know what God... Listen to me. We got some young people in here whose lives changed. Y'all saw at the youth rally, we had Holly's testimony and Todd's testimony. You know what got them too? Let me tell you what got them. Just what I'm talking about tonight. One of them last year and one of them year before last. Just what I'm talking here tonight. God moved in that service and blasted them out. Blasted them out. You know what got these other boys and some of these other young people that you've seen the big change in their life? God had to do it. You know how God does it? And just what I'm talking about tonight. Somebody done without. Now, if God blasted you out, would you be willing to suffer a little bit that He can blast somebody else out? That really ain't scriptural terminology, but in my mind, they're just all locked into a bunch of sin, and it's just like God just has to dynamite them out of it. Because, listen, you can preach, you blue in the face. It goes on all the time. These preaching services, these young people go to church every Sunday, and a lot of churches don't do a thing to them. God's got to blast them out. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I hope and pray tonight you got a sincere burden. Sincere burden. Our prayers may make the difference. Heaven and hell. For all eternity. For some of those young people. My Lord, what a responsibility. What a privilege. If it was your boy coming to camp next week, or my girl, and they was lost, wouldn't we be saying, oh, God, help that preacher. God, help them singers. God, it don't matter how you do it. It don't matter when you do it. It don't matter who you use to do it. God, just do it. If you don't use a black man that you saved out of a life of sin, hallelujah. If you want to use a prayer meeting down on the floating dining room, glory to God. If you want to use grandma at home on her knees, who's not even on the campground, to touch heaven, move on to him, so be it. Praise God. Let God have the glory. That's what I want tonight. Heavenly Father, do that needs to be done. Oh God, I thank you for all you have done, what you are doing, what you're going to do. And I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, as we go our separate ways this evening, I pray especially for Brother Archie and his family tonight, that you'd comfort them, Brother Alvin and his family and the loss of their sister, and Brother Roy Lee, and his mother and all their family. Oh God, they're hurting and suffering tonight. Please bless them. But oh God, we pray for these that have loved ones that are on the way to hell. Oh God, how horrible it'd be. Please, Father, open our eyes. Put a burden on our heart. May a spirit of prayer come upon your people. God, put a spirit of prayer on us now. Tonight, tomorrow. Oh Lord. May your will be done, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, touch us, we pray. We love you. And God, as we fast in this part of this weekend, God, I pray you'd honor it. May it be unto you, not be of men, but be of God, and honor it.